Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Patricia Murray is here now, work psychologist with the Health and Safety Authority. Patricia, it's great to have you with us again. So we were just talking about the ending of the compulsory mask wearing in the workplace. That's gone for the last 2 weeks. What are you hearing from employers and employees about the change? How is everybody handling it?
Okay, well, since we last spoke, which was, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Claire, obviously there's been a little bit of a change because people are now back in the workplace more so than they were then. So we in the HSA are getting queries from both employers, I'd say equally with employees. So a lot of employers are saying, we're getting queries from our employees and we just don't know how to answer them. So can you give us a steer? And then employees are, the query I'm getting from employees most often is, am I allowed to? Am I allowed to, literally? And I'm thinking, you never would have asked, am I allowed to, before now? So what's that coming from? So people are kind of confused about what they're allowed to even ask. So am I allowed to ask if I can wear my mask because nobody else is wearing theirs? Am I allowed to ask anybody else if they wouldn't mind wearing a mask? So as a psychologist, I suppose the issue is not the protocols from my perspective. The issue is, why are you feeling so uncertain that it's bothering you, this ambiguity?
And so why is that happening? Why are people in that space where they're asking those questions?
I suppose from a psychological point of view, again, all we can do at the moment in psychology is look at research from similar things, because we haven't had another pandemic, and look at why it is. And often if people have been given a lot of instruction over a period of time, so their self-regulatory processes have been put to the side and they've been very influenced by the rules, they're then nervous about going back and having no rules, because rules are a bit of a comfort blanket. Even if you don't like the rules, they're a comfort blanket because they're what everybody
doing. Well, at least
doing.
It's clear cut when you have,
exactly.
When someone's telling you what
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. So a little bit of me discussing them with people is, you know, first of all, there are protocols there insofar as, you know, it's over in terms of the mask wearing or whatever those things are. But every employee is different. Every workplace is different. Every situation is different. So I'd be saying to those people, it is a bit ambiguous now, and you really need to either seek clarity from your employer or from your colleagues, or do whatever suits you. If you want to wear your mask, I'm sure you can wear it.
So there's a bit of figuring out to be done between the employer and the employee. So how do you recommend they come together and work it out?
Well, our approach in all health and safety is always consultation. It really is. And at the moment, we're very much in the kind of trial and error, I suppose, hopefully less error, more trial. It's a period of getting used to being back. And like anything, that one is, when one is going back to something one previously was in, it's not the same. If you move house to a new area and move back to the old area, it's not the same. You've grown up, new people have moved in, the houses have changed. So it's not going to be, oh, we just keep it the same as it was prior to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Everybody has changed. So I would say what really is there for employers, and they are asking for this advice, and indeed we're doing some work ourselves with other agencies to try and clarify this. Like, do speak to people, do consult, do listen, do ask what they benefited from being out of work or being, you know, at home doing the work. Really try to capitalise on that, because people do want to be heard when they're going back. They don't want to be just treated like they're just the same.
Yeah, so people go back into the workplace and something happens. You've got virtually nobody wearing masks unless they choose to.
Exactly.
And then lunchtime comes and someone decides to open up their sandwiches at the table beside you and start eating. Now that, if you're in any way anxious and you're back into the office after 2 years at home, that's going to cause some worry, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, Anne-Claire, like I know that. It's a bugbear of yours with the apple eating. I remembered last time.
Someone crunching an apple beside you. Yeah.
But the thing is,
COVID or not, that's annoying.
One of the big issues isn't really emotional as much as it is sensory going back to work. So these things about smells, eating, as you said, noises, you know, even being stuffy, can we open windows? Are the windows not openable? So a load of sensory things would be very important now. And also, don't forget, when people were working from their kitchen table or from wherever they were working at home, they could eat at the table. They could have the apple or the soup or whatever. And they got used to it, and they forgot nearly. So when they're going back now, it might be one of the things that they're, you know, lingering on to or hanging on to and trying to do. So I would say again to employers, just act like it's almost a mini induction back to the workplace, and very small messaging around, don't forget, guys, there's no eating at the desks, or if you choose, only eating at the desk between, you know, 1 and 1:45, and no hot food and no curries or something. So like, try to re-engineer things.
Because everyone's managing a little bit of anxiety. It's perfectly normal, you know, having not been close to people for all of this time in your workplace environment, you're then going back in there.
Yes.
It's a strange experience, isn't it?
All change is anxiety provoking. So people who actually suffer from severe anxieties and who are in clinical treatment, and we're not really talking about that here, here now? Because obviously someone who's got severe anxiety, I would say go and see a professional, GP, someone in the Psychological Society of Ireland or some accredited body. But people who have low level anxiety, which is very much they can see themselves as to do with adaptation, as I mentioned the last time, like crossing boundaries. So going back to a position that we were once in, but it's different now and we have to go back to it. That's an anxiety for everybody. So you're not alone. You're not abnormal. It's completely fine. But what you need to really do is kind of think, is it that I have a very low tolerance for dealing with ambiguity and I've gotten used to being told what to do? In which case, that's something for you to do with yourself, but you can also talk to an employer. What is clear? What do I know? How can I reduce the ambiguity? Look at Monday, look at Friday. They're the boundary days. Is it really anxious for me on Sunday night because I have to go in on Monday? Could you go in maybe a little later? Could you go in a little earlier to avoid maybe if you're trying to avoid being on packed public transport? So just try to adapt, make certain as much as you can for yourself in your own anxiety. And then when you're in the workplace, what often happens, Claire, is people who are ringing me or saying, I'm really worried about it. I say, well, look, ring me back on Friday. And by Friday, I think, actually, it's fine. It was fine by Tuesday. I just wasn't used to it. I imagined it to be worse than it was. Our imaginations are often our worst enemy and our best friend. Mm-hmm. Because we imagine something's going to be great. We actually rate it as better than, in fact, it was because we imagined it was going to be good. So we don't want to let down our imagination, if you like. And if we imagine it's going to be terrible, we nearly experience it as terrible just to kind of keep up with our own imagination of what it was going to be. So we really need to kind of get in there and do it. And then reflect on what it was like. And then note down the things that you need change or you want change. If there's an EAP service maybe or occupational health or a manager or colleague. The social side of work really helps us to deal with the kind of individual locked in our own head worries that we have. So use that too.
Yeah, and just going back to what you were saying about, you know, ventilation, windows being open, the eating at the desks and so on. I mean, putting rules in place to deal with those issues will be, it'll be very difficult to police that, very difficult for an employer to say no eating at the desk unless it's between 1 and half 1 and keep that window open. Now, how do you make sure that that rule is adhered to? Can you?
Well, the thing is, there were always these like rules or edicts or protocols or ways we do things. It's just that's what feeds into the culture. Now, in some organisations, and I said they're all different, in some organisations, there's always been a rule around walking a certain way, using the stairs in a certain way, you know, for safety reasons, slips, trips, falls. So there always is in a workplace rules and they have to be followed if they're safety or health and safety rules. And so what you do this time is you say, we're going to adapt some of the things that we'd like people to do. Now, if you can't police them, then you say, this is a guidance and we want people to follow them. You'll find normally in a workplace that's got a good culture, most people will kind of self-police. They won't want to be seen to be maybe the odd time they'll do the thing when no one's looking, like the window open or close it. But in general, you'll find everyone will want for other people to see that they're kind of, you know, in with the way things should be done.
Yeah. In general terms, are you finding that people are exhausted going back to the office?
I was going to say emotional exhaustion is coming back as one of the things. And people don't really realise it. They're kind of maybe a little bit more snappy about things that aren't going their way or a little bit more, let's say, intolerant about things. And I think it is often, it is an emotional exhaustion and it's not really caused by work actually. It may be, but often it's just the whole shebang, everything that went on and that's going on now. So there's a little bit of, in all of us, I think, emotional exhaustion. So it's a good thing summer is coming up or it's springtime now and that all matters to our mental health, you know, nature, being able to go out for walks, longer days, the thought of a holiday. So this all does make things better. But at the same time, as you said, there is a little bit of an emotional exhaustion feeling out there.
Well, if you think about all the extra things you have to do when you've got to leave the house, decide what you've got to wear, you've got to organise your transport, think about your commute, do your commute, organise your food, get back home, factor in your exercise. Nobody's walked the dog because nobody's been at home all day. You know.
Yeah, but we were doing that for a lot of years.
Yeah, but
it's just that we weren't counting it. Yeah, we weren't counting. So now it's kind of cognitively loading us up with things. But we did do it before and there were so many benefits to it that we only realise when we do it. So the thing that we didn't predict in the day, bumping into somebody we didn't know, thinking a new thought because we saw something that triggered an emotion, all the evocative things that happen in a day that trigger our emotions and our senses that we don't know because they bypass our intellect. But it's kind of like suck it and see type of thing. Most people, when they get back to doing the thing, and obviously it has to be done in an organised, in a way that's suitable to people, but they will find that really there's enough things I like about it. And obviously there are other people who are saying, I've made my mind up. I'm not going back, or I'm moving job, or I'm changing career, or I'm, you know, taking more leave. So there are people who are making big decisions too.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who just don't like being in the office, not mad about the social side, not mad about the workplace gossip and so on, and just really are not happy about going back into that situation. As you say, they're making decisions, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And for sure, you know, and it really reminds me of when I was younger, when career guidance told us what kind of jobs suits us. And it's really developed a lot since then. So really, a lot of people who are introverts are stuck in extrovert jobs. And there's some extroverts stuck in introvert jobs. So really, what really I think come to the fore during the pandemic is the really importance of social connectedness and being in society. So people maybe have more realised, I actually thrive in a quiet environment. I'm more introverted. I really like working on my own. I'm going to look for a different type of job. And others, the opposite, are thinking, I really thrive socially. I need more stimulation socially at work. Okay, I earn good money, but I'm going to look for a slightly different job, either within the same company or in a different company. So I think that's kind of an interesting thing that, mm-hmm. you know, younger people now probably get that in career guidance in school. It's not just if you're fabulous at maths, you do this. It's what kind of person are you? What will make you happy?
Problems may arise now as cases are going up and people say, well, I'm a little bit anxious now about being in an office that's busier than I would like. Do I have a right to say, well, I'd like to go back to working from home? And I know there's been a lot of chat about this over the last couple of months, but just maybe clarify the position around that, Patricia.
Yeah, you know that it's outside of our legislation, but it's the people have a right to ask to work from home. But obviously the employer has a right then to consider it within the realms of what the function of the workplace is. So it's not a health and safety issue per se. But I would say to people, you know, before you make your decision of what you want, just try the new going back, because it's not the same as the old way it was. There's a new you, first of all, and there may well be new things in the workplace. It may be new people. So just try it and see. And obviously a person has their own decision to make then about what they want to do. And lots of workplaces will decide on a hybrid model. And so I wouldn't jump to a conclusion before you've kind of tried it and tested it.
So go back and see what it's like first, to be the overriding message. So the other issue that might arise is because at Christmas time, we had restrictions in place. People didn't have their Christmas functions, their parties and so on. Is it the right time for employers to start looking at putting on those sorts of events?
Employers can look at any of those things now because, you know, there's no legislation to say that they can't. But I mean, obviously, an employer will always be taking on board what the employee body wants and what they say. It could be a good idea to do a small group meeting first rather than do a huge big group, even from the psychological point of view of just you don't want to shock people anymore. They've had enough shocks.
So ease into it.
Ease into everything, you know, and listen to your employees and consult. And most employers, in my experience, do want that. I mean, that's why they're ringing the health and safety authorities. They're looking for what's the advice, what's best practice. You know, people have seen what happened to people who went against even nuanced best practice. So rather than following the letter of the law, employers generally want to kind of get the most out of employees. So like do the thing that's going to be, you know, increase performance and increase happiness, because they go together hand in glove. They really do.
Good advice, Patricia. Take it easy. Ease yourself in.
And consult and listen.
And keep talking. Yeah, exactly. Keep talking and keep listening. That's Patricia Murray, their work psychologist with the Health and Safety Authority.